Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts and minds of your faithful people. Be our good shepherd. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If you've got a seat, rejoice with the Lord this morning. It's good to see you. It's really good to be back on Eastern Shore here at Church of the Apostles to share with you. I've already had a great weekend meeting with some of your leaders, trying to bless and pray over your clergy. Don't you have an awesome group of clergy here in this parish to lead you? Under shepherds? They are tremendous. You are blessed people. Let me just start off by saying that. I bring you greetings from Christ Church Montgomery, where Jody, my wife, and I were last week doing similar confirmation work, preaching and celebrating. And so they bring their greetings, their love for you. Most of them, actually, let's be honest, most of them want to move down here and be with you. And a few of you are from there, so you know of what I speak. But in 2 weeks, I'll be at Christ Church Savannah, clear across the diocese the Atlantic Ocean, I guess it is. Can I take your greetings and your love on to Christ Church Savannah? They are with you in heart and soul, and they will be blessed to receive your greetings. So thank you this morning. So just want to just remind you, first of all, happy Mother's Day. I'm not going to preach on mothers because I know really very little about being a mother. I do have a mother. I'm blessed to have the mother of my children with us, and I have a spiritual mother in my aunt, and I'm grateful for all of those and for each of you that are mothers or spiritual mothers. So we ask God's blessing on you today. But we're not going to talk about motherhood. We're going to talk about the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, Jesus is with the disciples. He is teaching them, and he gives them this metaphor of the Good Shepherd. It's not in the verses that we see, but it's within this chapter 10. He tells them, I am the Good Shepherd. And it's a rich metaphor. You know it. If you've grown up in this parish, you know that from your godly play studies with Miss Ruth, that this is a chief means of us understanding discipleship and understanding the love of God that he's given us, that he is our good shepherd. As a matter of fact, this is Good Shepherd Sunday. And Jesus says that in the midst of that, the heart of what I believe he wants to say to us this morning is he calls his sheep, and he distinguishes, doesn't he, his sheep from not his sheep. He says, my sheep know my voice. They follow me. And in between there, he says, and I know them. They know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And isn't this, at the end of the day, the thing that most of us spend a lot of energy trying to figure out? What is God's voice telling me to do, both individually as well as collectively? Just this last week, we watched from Vatican City as the gray smoke came up, right? And all those cardinals that were in conclave, literally in Latin, locked away, key rather, they were there praying and trying to discern the will of God for the next pope. And lo and behold, it's an American pope. Who'd ever thought that? I mean, who'd have thought? But there they are. Roman Catholics have discerned through their conclave that God had called them to call this pope, who will be Pope Leo, to be the next pope. But how do we discern? How do we discern that it's time to build a new worship space? Well, that's kind of on the nose, right? You guys need a new space. I don't have to discern that very long. You need more space. But other decisions we have to make, both collectively and individually, are not always as easy. I was locked away in a conclave in our Anglican Church North America last June, Latrobe, Pennsylvania, one of the hottest places I've ever been. They don't understand air conditioning in Pennsylvania. I'll just tell you that. And we locked away, and prayerfully over 4 days, we discerned collectively who God was calling to be our archbishop. And by the grace of God, we elected Archbishop Steve Wood out of the Carolinas, out of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, to be our next archbishop. I think he's going to be an amazing leader. Already he's demonstrating that. But how do we wrestle with that, to hear the voice of God, to know what God is calling us to, and then to follow his direction? It's it's chief among the minds of all of us. If you're a young person here, going to be confirmed, you know, surely you're thinking about college. Where do I go to college? What do I study? What am I going to do for a vocation? Who will I marry one day? What is God's purpose for my life? I think that at the core of this call to understand the Good Shepherd is Jesus saying to us, look to me to listen and discern what my will is for your life. I love the fact that Jesus says not only that they will follow him, that hear his voice, but that he will know them. And on Easter Sunday, I was reminding a congregation I was with there that when Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in his risen state, resurrected from the dead, he doesn't just say greetings, which is what we have recorded there. Surely that was a way of expressing the greeting he gave her. But he called out to her. He made her to know that it was him, Jesus, had risen from the dead, that he was, in fact, calling her. He called her by name and demonstrated a personal, intimate relationship with Mary Magdalene. The Lord who calls you to discern his will, to follow him, to obey, he knows you. He knows you, and he wants you to know him as he knows you. And he leads you out of that intimacy of relationship. My grandfather was a farmer. My last name is Farmer, but most of us don't actually farm, in case you were wondering. But my grandfather did. He farmed all of his life working at Lockheed. He would farm on his free time, so to speak. And I've been with my granddaddy, and I've watched him call to his cows. And the cows knew his voice and responded. If you've been around farmers, if you've been around folks that raise livestock, you know that there's something about it. The sheep or the goats or the cows or whatever it is, they know and they hear and they respond. And so God calls us, and he wants us to be able to discern his voice in our lives. But now, before we rush on to discerning specific things like when to build a new building or what to do with our lives or what God is calling us to vocationally, we can know a few things up front. And I think sometimes this is where we get things out of order. What do we know first clearly from the Lord? Well, it's like Mark Twain used to say, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that give me trouble. It's the parts I do understand. Let's start with what we know, what we understand. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says that we're to believe him, that we're to put our trust in him, that when he says that he and the Father are one, that he means it. When he says that he offers his life as a sacrifice, forgiveness of sins for the whole world, that he's able to accomplish it. When he tells us that he's come to give us life and life abundantly, as we heard in the Revelation passage, to bring us to living waters, that he actually can deliver on those things. We begin our obedience to the Good Shepherd not by saying, Lord, where are you taking me? What do you want me to do? What's my future going to look like? But Lord, I want to believe in you. Easter morning changes everything. That Jesus bodily rose from the dead changes everything in the universe. And we can live out of an expectation that if God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can bring us into that abundant life, whatever it is, whatever his plan for us, wherever he's taking us, wherever he's taking Church of the Apostles, we can trust him because we believe in him. Now, we're all on a path of growing either in belief towards God or in disbelief away from him. I'm encouraged by the man from whom there needs to be an unclean spirit driven out of his son, that he says to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's always a continuation, but we press in to trust the Good Shepherd, to believe him, to take him at his word, to take the word of the apostles that saw him bodily raised from the dead, and we begin to trust in him. The second thing that's quite evident from Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is that he calls us to follow him, not simply to some place, but follow him in the character of our lives. We are to seek first and foremost to become like him, to be little Christ, to emulate his character, to grow in love and compassion and long-suffering and faith and hope, love for those around us that he calls us to reach out to with his hands of love, to begin to emulate them, to begin to understand his joy that isn't simply dependent upon the circumstances, but it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's not something we can do in ourselves. It's something that only the Lord can do, which is why at our confirmation or our reception service, which we're going to have today, it's so important that we remember the focus on the Holy Spirit. You'll hear me say over each candidate, and there's a bunch of them, so just buckle your seatbelts, come Holy Spirit. And it's not just words, it's a prayer of faith that the Holy Spirit would empower each of these adults or young people, that they may be empowered to live, to grow in likeness of Jesus, to follow him in character, even more so than they follow him to a destination. These are the things that we can take to the bank. We know the Good Shepherd is calling us to these things this morning. And it's important that we start there. I think sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We start focusing on the specifics. When do we build? Where do we build? What's the next phase of the life of Church of the Apostles going to look like? We distract ourselves with those things. Who will marry? What our job will be? Where we'll live? Before we understand the Good Shepherd's call, that we would believe in him and that we would grow in likeness. We would follow after him. Having established those things, we then attempt to learn, either collectively, like at the conclave, or as a congregation, as you discern God's call on this congregation, what is the Lord doing? Well, then we begin to say, well, how is it that God speaks to us? And here, I'm just so thankful for the Alpha Course. The Alpha Course that I taught for years in Gainesville, where I pastored, just instilled in me, catechized me in these five ways that God communicates to us. They use the CSs, the initial CS, to kind of keep them in your head, but they're fairly simple. First of all, commanding scriptures. God speaks to us through his word, which is why it's important that we read God's word every day. Not just when we come to church, but that individually find a plan. At the back of the prayer book, there's a plan. There are other plans online. Bible apps have plans. Find some rhythm by which you open up the word of God and seek to hear what God would say to you. You will be amazed. It may not be the first day, but as you faithfully seek to read God's word every day, God will speak to you. And God never speaks in contradiction to his word. So if you sense that the Lord's calling you to do something, you know, if you say, I think the Lord's calling me to kill this person, well, that clearly is not the Lord's will. Go back to the commanding scriptures which say, thou shalt not commit murder. Just to be clear, make sure that's all clear for all of us. So commanding scriptures. Secondly, the compelling spirit. God speaks to us through his compelling spirit. My prayer for each of these candidates this morning is that as we lay hands on them and we pray over them, that the Spirit of God would speak to them, maybe calling them to a future plan or a ministry they're to take on or an encouragement in the ministry that they already have. The Spirit longs to speak into our lives and to give direction to us as God would allow. Commanding scripture, compelling spirit, counsel of the saints. Mamas, when we're young, are great counsels, aren't they? How many times did you spend with your mom or your dad trying to discern what God was saying in your life, right? Well, in the same way, our community here at your community here at Church of the Apostles and wherever we are, and even small groups, are the way the Lord uses people to speak into our lives. Remember the Acts 15 when they're trying to discern what to do with these Gentile believers in Jesus? They say at the end, they say after spending time together and discerning, they say that it seems right to us and to the Holy Spirit that we do so and so. It's that council of the saints, seeking to know together. It's what we do in these conclaves. It's what we do in our local communities, how we understand. So council of the saints. Sometimes God speaks us through our common sense, right? I didn't have to decide whether or not I was going to, you know, stay on the right side of the road this morning. My common sense told me that was what the will of God was for me, right? Sometimes it comes through as we speak with friends that God just makes it clear through our own minds. And then lastly, sometimes it's circumstantial signs. Sometimes he really does part the heavens and give us a, you know, give us a sign. Sometimes there literally is a bus, you know, or something that comes by and has a scripture for us and that we know for certain. But that's probably the rarest of the ways the Good Shepherd speaks to us. Usually he speaks to us in one of these other ways. But we have to have ears to hear. We have to spend time. It's like, you know, when you've got your cell phone and you can't get good reception, right? You got to keep moving around till you find either a Wi-Fi or where you get to that good reception. For us, in our lives, that's getting quiet. It's actually, ironically, putting down the cell phone, usually. And being still before the Lord. Or meeting with other people in the body of Christ. Discerning what it is the Lord wants to do. Now, I will remind you, I will just tell you that you can't get too far from what the Lord wants to do in you. Oftentimes, we rush to where does God want to take me rather than what he wants to do in you. And I have a friend, Mark. He and I went through ordination together. He's a priest of our diocese. He said of his church, he said, I prayed and wanted God to change my congregation. God was more interested in changing me. And it took Mark, because he's a pretty stubborn guy, a long time to realize that God was changing him more so than changing the congregation within him, around him. Brothers and sisters, the Good Shepherd is calling you individually to seek to hear his voice, to know that he knows you, and to follow where he leads. I don't know the future for Church of the Apostles, but I can tell you, and it doesn't take a prophet to see it, God has richly blessed you. And surely his intent is that he would use you, he would bless you, he would break you, and he would multiply you like Jesus did the fish and loaves. That the Lord would bless you, that you might be a blessing to others. As the bishop, I go around the diocese and I try to help churches get to a place of flourishing. But a place like Church of the Apostles that is already flourishing, my word to you is now you help others flourish. There are folks not too far from here that are not flourishing. How might you be a blessing? What would it look like to have 10 Church of the Apostles in the Gulf Atlantic Diocese? What could God do with that? Some of you, young and old, God has a unique calling on your life. For some of you, it'll be ordained ministry. For some, it'll be a call to be cross-cultural workers. That's what we used to call missionaries, by the way. New lingo. I've already prayed with or talked to two different families that are here that are called to go to cross-culturally and minister. Some of you will be called to be leaders, lay leaders in this congregation or another congregation. Some of you will be leaders in the culture, in business and government and industry. And we need you desperately to go and be a light for Christ in those places. The Lord has so much that he, as the Good Shepherd, wants to say, if we have ears to hear. The last thing I want to say to you is this, that Jesus in this passage, as the Good Shepherd is speaking to his sheep, and you, I'm speaking to his sheep this morning, remember what he says. He says, no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. I will give them eternal life, and no one will be able to snatch them out of the hand of my Father. Twice He says it to his sheep, to us, his people. And it's to remind us that we're in a safe place, that already we're in the assurance that no one can take us away from the grace of God. No one can rob us of that or left us out. So you know what that means? It's like playing with house money. It's like we can take risk knowing that even it's, and my mentor used to say, you pray and then you make a faithful decision. You make the best possible decision. Prayerfully, you make a decision, recognizing that if I misstep, God's grace is greater. What we can't do is refuse to take steps for fear that we'll make the wrong step. That paralysis would be detrimental. The Lord has you. He is your good shepherd. I don't know the plans he has for you, but I know that he who is faithful will be faithful to the end. And he calls you with the assurance that he has you in his hands and that nothing can snatch you out, that you would move forward in faith and trust in him. And that each of these who come this morning to be confirmed or received in this body would come ready to serve, ready to work as the Lord calls you. Amen? God bless you. What a joy to be with you, and what a joy to share in the confirmations and receptions of those who feel called into this body, that you may be his light, his salt, to wherever he calls you. Amen.